Good morning. I hope you slept well. I was awoken in the night with another word for David. The word came to me that early November is really the time for pruning, and that in true typical horticultural practice, the pruning should be approximately a half inch below the knot. And the purpose for this is that intelligence might then filter back up into the brain, so that next spring, when the new evidence of grace might take place, it might be wiser than the previous offering. We're speaking this morning about wise and foolish virgins. Really. I wanted in these 15 minutes to use Sunday's lection from the RC lection, the gospel is from Matthew 25. At that time, the kingdom of heaven will be like 10 bridesmaids who took their lamps and went to wait for the bridegroom. Five of them were foolish and five were wise. The five foolish bridesmaids took their lamps, but they did not take more oil for the lamps to burn. The wise bridesmaids took their lamps and more oil in jars, because the bridegroom was late. They became sleepy and went to sleep. At midnight, someone cried out, "The bridegroom is coming, come and meet him." Then all the bridesmaids woke up and got their lamps ready. But the foolish one said to the wise, "Give us some of your oil, because our lamps are going out." The wise bridesmaids answered, "No, the oil we have might not be enough for all of us. Go to the people who sell oil and buy some for yourselves." So while the five foolish bridesmaids went to buy oil, the bridegroom came. The bridesmaids were ready went in with the bridegroom to the wedding feast. Then the door was closed and locked. Later the others came back and said, Sir, open the door, let us in." The bridegroom answered, "I tell you the truth, I don't want to know you. So always be ready, because you do not know the day or the hour the Son of Man will come." We've been moving through the Gospel of Matthew, looking at what the kingdom is about, and it's about continued preparedness. And this is a hard, hard gospel this morning. It's a difficult one. Its setting, of course, is from the wisdom literature of the Old Testament, where you have wise and foolish. You have the wise and foolish builders. You have the wise woman of Proverbs 31. But in the context of what Matthew is trying to press home, in the last few weeks, we have been dealing with a number of challenging stories. First of all, Matthew 21:28, about 3 weeks ago, the two sons, one said no initially and then said yes, and the other one said yes initially and didn't follow through. Coming to the kingdom means that you have to say yes. So that's the first part of Matthew's preparation of what it means to come to the kingdom. Then in Matthew 22, the guests were invited to the wedding, and they have to say yes, and some don't, and other guests are found for the feast. And then at the end of that passage, on that particular Sunday, the requirement to wear a wedding gown to the wedding. The wedding is so important that having the right clothes on is essential, and the right clothing is being clothed in Christ. And so we come to today's Sunday's gospel, and now it's the question of, do you have enough oil? Are you prepared? Now, of course, the context is this midnight coming of the bridegroom, which was the custom in the Near East. The bridegroom would come, and the bridesmaids, all 10 of them, would come out, light their lamps, and go round the village, gathering up everybody in the procession, and then finally the bridegroom would come to the bride's house, and the wedding would take place. A wonderful picture of this nighttime fiery procession through the town. So what's so important about oil? N.T. Wright says it's not about the oil, it's about the emphasis on being prepared. Well, a funny thing happened. I was asked by Dee what I was going to speak about, and I said, well, you know, it's wisdom literature. N.T. Wright says it's all about preparation. And there was this pause, and she said, actually, it's all about the oil. So we didn't talk again for a day or two. And then I got a phone call. I've just been to my prayer group. And they knew nothing about our conversation. And they were praying for me. And the Lord spoke through one of the women in the group. And the woman said, I see that the Lord is going to bring down oil upon you and Trevor and your ministry together. And it's like that story of those bridesmaids, the wise and the foolish bridesmaids. And for about half an hour, these women each got different words about the importance of the oil anointing and for the purposes of ministry. So I'm here to tell you this morning, it's all about the oil. But just before we get there, let's compare the foolish and the wise bridesmaids. The foolish bridesmaids believe that the bridegroom is coming, just as much as the wise. They also believe that it's important to be ready. They have their lamps ready. Thirdly, they look forward to being included in the party in heaven, as is evidenced by the fact that when they don't have oil, they plead to have oil so they can be part of what is going on. Fourthly, the foolish ones are in the right place and also are found amongst the wise. Wheat and tares, they know, fifthly, what's expected of them. In a contemporary parallel, Christians believe that Jesus is returning makes them orthodox, but not necessarily those who are going to enter the kingdom. Christians today, nearly everyone would say that it's important to be prepared spiritually. Most Christians expect to go to heaven. They're often found in the right place in church with the wise. They know that they need to be ready. So what distinguishes the wise from the unwise? Let me ask it a different way. What is it in my life, in your life, that is going to burn and light the pathway to heaven? If you are a torch, what is the supply of oil that is going to keep your torch alight as you move with the bridegroom around the town on your way to the kingdom of heaven or on your way to heaven? Without a doubt, David's gift of teaching will light the pathway to heaven for us. Without a doubt, Sheila's gift of music is going to burn. It's going to create heat and light and joy. Without a doubt, all those who've served us here, that's fire. That brings warmth and comfort and kindness. Your love of your family, that's the oil that will burn brightly to show the way for others. Your unity is the oil, like Aaron in Psalm 133, the oil that flows down over the beard of Aaron. Oil takes away the friction between people. The oil of the Spirit is what brings life. Do we draw from the oil in the jars that in the imagery of Elisha coming to the prophet's widow whose children were going to be sold into slavery, and Elisha enabled the jars to be filled with oil so she might be set free. The oil that brings freedom and life and wholeness. 'Tis all about the oil supply that comes from the Spirit. What's going to burn in our lives today for the kingdom of God? What are the passions that are God's passions that He has inside of us that are longing to come to light, that are going to set this room ablaze today, that is going to set our churches ablaze, that's going to bring Canada to see the light of God, that's going to bring the US to see the light of God? It's being ready. Last summer, Dee Dee and I took my mother on holiday for a week in the Mumbles in South Wales. And my mother is 87. And every year we bring her a new challenge on holiday. And this year it was that we took her from one bay over a 600-foot cliff to the next bay. The pathway petered out, and there was just a railing that you had to haul yourself up over and down. My mother made it to the next bay, and we went back and got the car and brought her home. So the next day, I said to Mum, I was feeling quite tired, "How are you doing, Mum, this morning?" And she said, "Fine." I said, "Well, how about your legs? How are your legs feeling?" "Fine." "So you're okay?" "Yes." "Well, why wouldn't I be?" I was forgetting that my mother is in continual preparedness for these holidays because she knows how crazy we are. She goes up and down a 1-in-4 hill in Ottery St. Mary in England every day with groceries, and she is ready for anything. That's just a physical example, isn't it, of continual preparedness. But we know what happens when we're not prepared and we are faced with an emergency that requires us to exert ourselves physically when we're not prepared. We're at risk. And spiritually, we're at risk if we're not continually prepared and that we're not connected to a resource, which is God's resource for us. So let me invite you then this morning and in the coming days to ask yourselves, what is it within my life that is going to stand the test of heaven? What is it in this life that's going to continue to burn brightly for Jesus? It will be my love of Jesus, my prayers for the people of God, for my family, my ability to bring joy and life and worship to the people of God, and many other things that you will uniquely bring, perhaps color splashed upon a canvas, or your music, whatever your particular gift. Burn for Jesus today. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Bishop Trevor. I was going to wait.